Hey, it's Brian here, and I've got a quick question for you. Did you miss Accelerate Live 2025? If you did, I hate to say it, but you missed big. But here's the good news. For the first and last time ever, we're bringing the entire game-changing experience to you online. This was our biggest and, dare I say, best Accelerate Live ever. And now is your chance to watch 12 of the industry's top leaders reveal the exact strategies, tactics, and tools that are working right now to drive leads, sales, and profits. This is a one-time offer, and it ends May 15th. So if you've never made it to an Accelerate Live and you're wondering what all the fuss is about, or you missed this year's event, this is your only chance to find out what happens behind those doors. I guarantee you will discover at least one strategy from each session that could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to you, or I'll give you your money back. Visit AccelerateEvent.com. That's AccelerateEvent.com to get your all-access pass before May 15th and unlock the home improvement industry's most powerful event today.
If you get 500 bad leads that are really, really cheap, do you care about something like that? Because that gets back into that lead quality conversation. And 10 years ago, it was a little bit difficult to control that lead quality conversation. But Google's algorithm from a paid perspective has evolved so vastly that you can optimize your way into lead quality a little bit better than you could before.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. This is Brian Kaskavalsian, and with me today is Natalie Russo and Chris Behan from Truvolve. And recently we were having a discussion about leads, lead quality, and how a lot of people out there are just saying leads suck right now. And so we thought it might be an interesting topic to talk about. Is it really the leads that suck? Is it that you suck? What is it? And so this should be an interesting conversation. Welcome, guys. Glad you're here.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
So, So tell us more. We were talking about, leads and lead quality. We're recording this right at the beginning of April. How was Q1 for like Truvolve clients? You know, what have you guys been hearing?
I think our clients overall are doing really well in their paid media programs as well as their SEO programs. We're seeing pretty good efficiency in our lead volume and our costs. We're seeing a lot of set, issued, run, and ultimately closed sales leads. So we're seeing very positive trends. I mean, we operate a little bit differently compared to a lot of other agencies, but so far, so good. We're doing really well.
Yeah. So we had our intensive Success Society intensive last week. And our big topic of discussion. So usually what we'll do is we'll do, it's 2.5 days and we'll usually do about a third of it is presentation and about 2/3 is masterminding and group work. And our big topic was marketing, was lead generation. And it was interesting because there was a big mix of kind of results. So some people, the year started off really strong. January, February, super strong. March kind of dipped a little bit. And then now things have started to pick back up again. And then we had people that were the opposite, where January and February blew, but March was off the charts and helped them get back on track for their quarter. And so what's kind of interesting is that it's what is it that causes this, like, this up and down? Why do some people have a great January, February, and some people don't have a great January, February? Is there any rhyme or reason to it?
Well, I think there's always volume concerns at different times of the year. A lot of products are very seasonal. So people that are working outside the house in some of the colder months will tend to see less volume going through search engines like Google or Bing. So certainly that has a lot to do with it. A lot of people that are successful year-round just adopt different strategies to simply be more successful year-round. You know, they take conversion very seriously. They take tracking very, very seriously. And they're very, very focused on efficiency throughout the year, opposed to coming in and out of marketing services, especially when it comes to paid media.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things that came out of that, so what we actually had our coaches do, and this was really kind of cool, I thought, was we did an overall talk about lead generation and the importance of tracking, the importance of conversion, of scripting, of training. And then what we actually did was we broke it down by, okay, if you're in like that $1 to $3 million range, here's what that all looks like for you, 3 to 10 and then 10 plus. And one of the big things that we talked about was the call center. Now, call center could be one person, it could be 100 people, but call center is basically the person that is in charge of and responsible for setting appointments, either inbound or outbound. How much of a difference from your experience does a good call center make versus, you know, letting Martha, you know, Martha in the back answer the phone every once in a while when everybody else is busy?
I think as long as you have a system in place is kind of what's important to us on something like this. So even if you're a small company with one or two people answering the phones, opposed to a company with 50 or 60 people doing it, you want to make sure there's methodologies put in place, that there's scripting, that there's certain follow-ups and call cadences that can be reached or met, even with a very, very small team, I think is critically important. I mean, we know that this is a considered purchase, and that when a user comes to a website, they're probably going to visit two or three other websites through that process. And that becomes even more true as the price point raises on those types of projects. So whoever gets there first and speed to lead is obviously a critical, critical part of anything that we would do. And especially for us, because we're a very data-driven company, we look down the funnel and we want to see what the set and the issue and the run and the close rates look like. And we want to make sure that we're making optimizations to those. And if they can't get through the call center process, and you can't get a hold of them, then we're essentially spinning our tires from a data perspective.
When you say speed to lead, so we talk a lot about that, speed to lead. Define that. What is good speed? What is not good speed?
Seconds. I mean, you're trying to catch that person before they ever leave your website. The really, really good companies do that. And I think that sometimes smaller companies look at that and say, well, I can't do that. That's not something that's available to me. And really, in my opinion, that's just one of those things that you're telling yourself that you should not be telling yourself. There's tons of technologies that are out there that will help you with speed to lead that are really, really affordable. In fact, we're about to roll out one of our own platforms that will help our members do exactly that, to where the moment they hit the submit button on the form, it calls you and notifies you of that. So, I mean, speed to lead is critical. If you can catch them while they're still on your website, you're going to have a much, much higher chance of setting and issuing that lead.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much talk about that in all of our industry conferences. We've talked about that here. People talk about speed to lead, and yet people still aren't grasping it. So I hope that everybody that's listening understands that if you're using aggregators, or you are driving leads to your own website, you are fighting for people's attention. And if you are, especially with aggregators, if you're using lead aggregators, man, they sent that lead to you, but they also sent it to 2, 3, 5 other people also. And so the people that have that system in place and are going to get to that lead the quickest have the best chance of setting that appointment. And so many people complain and say, oh, the leads suck and this and that. But it's like you ask them, okay, well, what is your system? Once you, if you're using a, let's just say, lead aggregator, or you're paying for somebody to help you generate leads online, how fast are you getting to this? What is the system that you have in place? Because if you don't have the system in place, you're flushing money down the toilet, is essentially what you're doing.
100%. I mean, without speed to lead, everything that any agency would do for you will kind of have a wet blanket thrown over the top of it. It's kind of the one of the first things that you have to address. I mean, there's a lot of other data points that will create efficiency in campaigns that a lot of agencies are not utilizing correctly. But the number one thing to get right is you have to call the lead, and it has to be immediate. I mean, we see cases all the time because we're a big data company where we don't see callbacks for hours or even days in some cases, or they're finally getting back to calling these people. And other people will call them much more quickly if you don't. There's a whole line of people looking to make that phone call.
You know, it's interesting that when you think about where the industry has come in the last 5 years, and then you look at the last 10 years, and then you go back like 20, 25 years. I mean, back when I started in the industry, it was nothing like what it is today. For the most part, you either waited for the phone to ring, and then you'd have a conversation with the person on the other end, and you would say, yeah, we'll come out and we'll give you an estimate. And then you would send people out or yourself out, and it was all very casual, and you could make a living. You know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people started to get much more sophisticated, started to put these selling systems in place. And in order to put good selling systems in place, you need to be able to feed that. You know, you need to be able to feed salespeople with leads. And then leads, you know, you could get leads at a reasonable cost. And the people that said, okay, I'm willing to invest in leads, those were the ones that started to grow bigger and bigger companies. And then, you know, then you look at like even 10 years ago, I was at 10 years, 5 years ago. And now all the new technologies that are in place. I mean, like Truvolve didn't even exist 5 years ago. But the technologies and the stuff that you guys are doing when it comes to internet marketing is just like we didn't even dream of this stuff 5 years ago. And so I think people need to realize that, hey, if you're still in that space of 10 years ago or 20 years ago, even, you're going to get run over by some very, very sophisticated companies. And so if you want to do this business right, you want to make money, it's in the details. And you know, lead generation, lead conversion, selling systems is so much more sophisticated now.
The mindset has definitely changed of the average home improvement company, where, like to your point, 10, 15 years ago, they went out and they wanted to make a living for themselves. And what they actually got themselves was a job. They were stuck in it all day, every, you know, all night, every weekend working in that job, to where home improvement companies have really kind of learned that they can build something that's very scalable if they do it properly. And they can sit atop that company and get what's most valuable back to pretty much any business owner, which is their time. So I think the mindset is shifted dramatically over the last 5 to 15 years of how home improvement companies go about operating their businesses.
Yeah.
And kind of spiraling off of that as well, I think even the mindset of how you're doing your marketing needs to change as well. I feel like whenever we're auditing a lot of accounts, people are still very much in that mindset of what are the cost per raw lead is, but not necessarily kind of digging in further there to understand what that raw lead is doing down the line. And that's where I think data and, like you're saying, these sales systems and all overall just technology in general gives you that kind of leg up to understand, okay, well, even if I get an efficient CPL or efficient raw lead, what is that lead doing for me? And without those kind of pieces in place to understand what's happening beyond that initial touch point is going to be the thing that kind of separates you from like the people with that kind of 10-year-old mindset versus kind of using those newer up-to-date technologies now.
Yeah. And that's an excellent point that Natalie makes, is that the conversation needs to shift away from purely a raw cost per lead conversation. And you know, the conversations they're always the same, and I've had this conversation 1,000 times in my career where someone gets on the phone and I say, well, how is your marketing? And, well, my lead cost is $100 a lead or $150 a lead. I'm like, well, what are your marketing costs? you know, what we're going for is something, you know, 10% or less from a marketing cost perspective. That's the conversation that we want to have with people's, because that's how you scale a business. If you get 500 bad leads that are really, really cheap, do you care about something like that? Because that gets back into that lead quality conversation. And 10 years ago, it was a little bit difficult to control that lead quality conversation. But like, especially Google's algorithm from a paid perspective has evolved so vastly that you can optimize your way into lead quality a little bit better than you could before. And it is just a completely different conversation than we used to have in the past, to where, I mean, the conversation would go exactly like this. The agency gets on the phone with their home improvement company customer. They say, hey, I sent you 100 leads. They show, I show 70. And then you spend the remainder of the call arguing over the 30. Technology has taken care of that problem for us, past just the argument that ensues from something like that. How data has evolved, and especially like how we do digital marketing, has evolved so vastly that you can actually optimize yourself into a cost of marketing opposed to necessarily a cost per lead, which again, is just such a tired conversation at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And I think kind of speaking to what Chris is saying in terms of Google and Google Ads algorithms, it really has shifted so much even in the last 5 years using those smart bidding technologies where when they first came out, the CPL was kind of that main optimization strategy, especially from a lead generation kind of tactic. Whereas now we can be a lot more sophisticated and actually optimizing towards a business's profitability versus that initial raw lead touch point. So using other kind of third-party tools, we can be able to kind of ingest a lot more data to help that algorithm just be a lot more powerful. The more data that we can really give Google to work with, whether that be audiences, whether that be additional data to kind of import into your campaigns, all that is going to just make your campaigns more of a powerhouse versus just kind of looking at that raw lead cost and getting an efficient lead there.
So let's talk a little bit more about, paid media. So when I think about paid media with internet marketing, I think about Google PPC. I think about social media. Let's not talk right now about aggregators, but what else is in there? And then what are the new things that people need to know about being successful? Like, is Google PPC still a thing?
Definitely still a thing. Kind of a main component, especially when we're talking about home industry space. We are kind of the masters of getting that initial raw lead, and we want to make sure that all of our kind of main components that we're really making sure that we're in that bottom of the funnel when users are using those type of high intent type of keywords to be kind of finding you as a company. And it's especially a lot more important today with the changes that are happening on the SERP with AI kind of coming in on your search results page. It pushes some of those organic type of pieces down. So paid is becoming a little bit even more important to make sure that you're kind of coming up to the top of the results page. So definitely still a thing. Definitely something that's very important whenever you're kind of talking about your marketing mix and making sure you're in that kind of bottom funnel activation. Social, definitely something that is a good thing to consider whenever we're talking about your overall marketing strategy. It definitely spreads a lot more reach. We can kind of get in front of a lot more eyes for a little bit of a cheaper cost in terms of kind of how many eyes we're reaching. The lead quality does kind of differ at times whenever we're talking about social, because we're just in a different mindset. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're not necessarily in that high intense search space, but it is important to understand how initiatives like social activation can actually impact some of those paid search pieces as well, because sometimes as we look to expand our reach and we're looking to expand awareness or consideration, all those type of tactics are going to kind of help ladder and support your bottom funnel activation as well, like paid search.
Okay, so Natalie, so say all of what you just said again, but say it to me because I'm 8 years old. I'm that's how dumb I am. So say all of what you just said to me, the eighth, you know, the the 8-year-old, because a lot of what you just said was really good. And I got little bits and pieces of it. Intent, you know, intent is very important, you know, and somebody is going to Google and they're typing in window company near me or bath remodeling. That is a high intent person, somebody that's scrolling on Facebook and looking, you know, to get, you know, get themselves all worked up about what vacation their friend took or what bag their friend just bought. You're trying to get their attention. Oh, well, look at us. You were just thinking about your friend and that Louis Vuitton bag that she's showing on Facebook, making a point of showing it on Facebook. But now you're trying to get them to have interest in windows. That's very low intent. So they're very different. But when we're talking about Google pay-per-click, again, as if I'm an 8-year-old, Natalie is like, for those of you listening, she's like, she's so far beyond mere mortals when it comes to this, all this internet marketing. So that's why I got to remind her that most of us are not, you know, most of us are really dumb when it comes to this stuff, me included. So with Google pay-per-click, what are the elements that make it work, quote unquote, work versus not work?
Absolutely. So if we kind of think about just kind of a super high up kind of vision of marketing mix, the paid search, and if we kind of think about a funnel, obviously we have kind of high up reach.
Wait. Natalie, what's a funnel?
Oh, what's a funnel? Oh, man.
We got to start with that. We got to start just in case.
All right. I'll back up way up. So whenever we're talking about marketing a funnel, think about an upside down triangle. Basically, we have the big flat side on top, and we're talking about awareness up there and consideration kind of being in the middle, and bottom funnel, obviously being that nice little pointed in at the bottom. And all of these things, you can kind of visually understand, like the top of the funnel, we have a really large reach. That bottom of the funnel, we're talking about high intent, and we're reaching those users who are looking for you. And that's why paid search is such an integral part, especially whenever we're talking about the gen. So in terms of kind of what works and what doesn't work in paid search, especially whenever we're talking about the home improvement or home service spaces, there is a couple things that we have to kind of take into consideration. As we have been auditing accounts for some prospective members, we see a lot of what Google is kind of pushing today, which is Google Performance Max, which allows our members to be able to kind of have a little bit more of an expanded reach. It goes across a lot more platforms than just search space. So you can be talking on YouTube, you can be talking on display, we can talk on search as well. However, we tend to see a little bit of a lower quality lead from these types of activation because it tends to react a little bit like social. So we want to make sure that as we're setting up our campaign structures, we understand how these different tactics within Google Ads work. So yes, from an e-commerce space, that Performance Max works really, really great. And we do see some success in certain areas with a lead generation activation. And that's with a lot of different specific tactics in place. We have CRM audiences in there. We have a very specific creative plan. But if all those things aren't in place and we're really kind of trying to push in that space, we might see some lead quality performance that is pretty low. And like kind of the beginning of this kind of overall topic is the lead might suck. So we want to make sure that we're putting together a overall campaign structure that aligns with your business goals and things that we know is going to kind of bring in a much more high quality lead. So instead of kind of leaning into that performance match, instead of fully leaning into broad match type of keywords where we're able to spread, again, reach a little bit more on the paid search side, we lean a little bit more into things that are of a higher quality intent type of keyword, whether that be exact match and phrase match. So we're kind of qualifying those type of search queries a little bit more specifically. And then we're beyond that from a campaign structure, we start to get into tracking and how we're looking at the conversions and how we're actually ingesting some additional information about how that raw lead, that initial lead touch point, whether that be a form fill or phone call, how is that actually setting an appointment? How are we getting a sale from these raw leads? So being able to not just like set up your campaign structure that aligns with kind of the business goals that you have, but also being able to see the data post raw lead to ingest that back in to understand how we need to optimize things differently.
Yeah, and that's fairly new because even, again, I think 5 years ago, agencies, internet marketing companies really weren't looking at the full from beginning to end and looking at the overall performance of that and how it relates to profitability. Whereas now with all of the tools available from all of what you're telling us, now you guys can do all of that. And then you can make adjustments on the campaigns based on what's effective, what's not effective, what's working, what's not working. And you can do those, I would imagine, in real time, those changes.
And like what I would add to that is frankly, most agencies are not doing that. Most agencies are still living in that cost per lead model. And what they do is they get on the phone with you. And at the end of the month, they do a post-mortem of what happened in that previous month. And they say, well, we generated 100 leads, 20 of them turned into sales. Maybe one or two agencies in total that I've come across would even ingest that information back into the Google Ads interface. The way that it should be done is the way that we do it. So imagine for a second, every action on your website is tracked and every action within your CRM is monitored and reported on automatically. There's almost a direct connection to how we build our campaigns between the ads interface and our members' CRM. So what happens is we use an intermediary called Segment, where we connect Segment directly to their CRM and it reports back instantaneously, essentially. So, hey, this turned into a set appointment. This turned into an issued lead. This turned into a sale. Take that data as frequently as hourly and push it automatically back into the Google ad interface. Because what we have to understand at this point is that Google's algorithm is a learning algorithm at this point. It's no longer like, here's my bid, here's my budget, run my ad. Those days are completely gone and they're over with. You need to let Google learn off of good data points. And it's not just from a CRM perspective. You know, what we track and how we've connected our services together is it's actions and events within websites. So people that hit on your About Us page might be somebody with a little bit higher intent. People that downloaded directions, people that visited the Contact Us page. We're ingesting all of those things back into Google. And this is how you solve marketing problems. So the problems that your audience experiences is when they say my leads suck is typically, yeah, I got 100 leads, but 40 of them were service calls. And why am I spending money marketing to people that, you know, just want a repair done on something that I've already installed? Or they're looking to speak to their spouse, or they're trying to sell me a copy machine. They're not real leads in a lot of cases. And that frankly is a very valid concern. The best that most agencies are doing right now is a post-mortem. So they've already blown the budget for the month. They really didn't feed any good data back to Google. In fact, in most cases, it's either bad data or no data, and no data is maybe even worse than bad data, where there's a different way of doing it now. So feed Google exactly what they're looking for. Feed them sales, because Google knows so much about you at this point that it's past creepy. They know me specifically. If I were to use myself as the example, most of our members would tell us that I perform better with a phone call opposed to someone filling out a form on my website than I have to try to call them back and get a hold of them. We can actually optimize campaigns to people like me that are high action people that just want to pick up the phone. I just want to set the appointment. I just want to get you in here. I want to get my house taken care of and be done with it. So the data is what's evolved so drastically, especially in the last couple of years. And in our opinion, this is kind of critical to be talking about because we're not living in COVID times anymore. During COVID, we had extra search volume and less competition. Now we have a little bit less search volume in some categories, but way more competition in every category. And the problem is that the agency's only response is spend more money, where our response is be more efficient, convert more of your traffic, have a conversion model built into your landing page, tell your story. I subscribe to the notion of what I call a super lead. And a super lead is not just a lead that's sold on your product or even necessarily your price, but they're sold on you. They're inviting you into their home for a prolonged period of time. They probably want to know something about you. And if we can sell them on your organization and not just the price and not just the product, that's a lead that's going to close at a notably higher rate compared to again, that same tired, you know, basic cost per lead model.
And another thing I wanted to kind of point across it that Chris was saying is bad leads are, I think, just as impactful as no leads. Because if you're optimizing towards those service calls or somebody trying to sell something else to you and your company, that's not going to be beneficial no matter what the lead cost is. So what are those tools that we can put in place to prevent those things from happening, from optimizing to those poor leads? So one of the things that we're doing as well, it beyond just kind of ingesting that sales data using Segment, is using partners like CallRail, where we are using some of their AI type tools called conversation intelligence, where we're actually scrubbing those transcripts to understand, okay, the customer is saying the words appointment and I'd like to have an estimate, and actually kind of understanding when those appointments are getting set in real time. And instead of kind of populating those conversions for every single phone call that happens, we're only ingesting what we're calling qualified calls. So those are kind of stripping out all of those other kind of bad type of conversions that might coming through from a phone call perspective. But whenever we're optimizing campaigns, we're scrubbing all those out and we're only optimizing towards those more qualified type leads.
This episode is brought to you by Sticky Leads. Are your advertising costs going up? You're not alone. The digital landscape is shifting rapidly, and businesses that rely solely on Google are leaving money on the table. At Sticky Leads, they've cracked the code with their 8-point lead strategy. Instead of focusing on just one platform, Sticky Leads maximizes a company's reach across 8 powerful channels. Imagine your business capturing those visitors who clicked but didn't call, turning missed opportunities into booked appointments. Sticky Leads makes that possible. And with their 24/7 virtual home service assistance, no lead goes unanswered. As a podcast listener, you will receive a full digital analysis free of charge when you mention the Wealthy Contractor podcast. It's time to rethink how leads are generated. Visit stickyleads.com today. You said earlier that Google is learning.
Mm-hmm. Always.
That sounds new and different. How are they doing that? Are they doing that through their AI?
Using all of their smart bidding tools. So smart bidding came out quite a while back. It wasn't super smart in the very beginning when it first came out, and it was a little bit clunky to get that initial kind of efficient raw lead costs. And we had to kind of play around with it, and there was definitely some improvements upon it over the last couple of years. So as we've kind of learned more recently, is the more data that we can provide these smart bidding algorithms, whether we're using a CPL or more kind of a value-based type of bidding strategy, if we give them audiences from our CRM that have produce sales, if we can give them back data of those sales using GCLID information. So GCLID being a unique identifier towards users that are clicking that ad and filling out that form, that GCLID can get passed into your CRM and we can kind of re-ingest that back. And that's how we're understanding how those sales are. So by giving Google that data and by basically instructing it and saying, hey, this is what I'm trying to get to, and the more data we can give it to learn from, the more powerful it's going to be. So instead of just saying, hey, this is my raw lead cost that I'm trying to go for, have at it, it'll go and it'll try and get there, but it's not going to be as successful unless you kind of give them these kind of learning points to say, not just, hey, this is the cost I'm going for, but these are the audiences that have worked in the past. These are the sales that I'm currently seeing from your campaigns. All of that creates that powerhouse learning for those algorithms.
GCLID? What's that?
It's basically a unique identifier that is placed on a user. It's somebody's clicking that ad and they're coming to your site. They get that GCLID kind of attached to that them as a person, a persona. It's an anonymized identifier for them. So it's not necessarily taking your name or your phone number or address, but it's giving you that kind of anonymous GCLID identifier to be able to push into your CRM, so we can use that same identifier to get put back into it.
Is that something you're putting on there, or is that something Google offers?
Google, this is something that is through Google, but with TrueSpeed, you have to be able to ingest that into your CRM. So it's one thing just to have it and be able to use it, but we have to be able to kind of take that back and be able to use it on the inside. So with TrueSpeed and with our forms, we have basically what's called hidden fields. So obviously whenever we have users fill out a form, you have your name, your address, your all of the different information that you're trying to get to be able to reach out to them. But we also have what's called hidden fields that users can't see that passes back data into your CRM. What campaign did it come from? Is this a brand or non-brand campaign? What region did it come from? And that GCLID essentially is hidden in that field as well. So we're using these UTM parameters as what's kind of tacked on to the end of a landing page to be able to ingest all that data within those hidden fields.
And you said TrueSpeed. What's TrueSpeed?
TrueSpeed is the content management system that we developed here at TrueEvolve, and it's built around speed. So the number one reason that any user abandons a conversion rate or conversion process on a website, meaning they leave your website without converting, is speed or latency. Latency is the inability of a website to load very, very quickly. And the problem that most home improvement companies have is they use one of two content management systems. First one's called WordPress, which most of us has probably heard. The other one is called Webflow. The problem that both of them have is that they're latent. They are very, very slow to load type content management systems. And a slow website, no matter what you do, you can do everything perfectly from a data perspective. But if your website is too slow to load, then you're going to be suffering from a conversion rate perspective.
You guys have ruined me. Every website I go to now is slow.
Yeah, it's
every single website is slow. Yeah.
The technology that we use creates a conversion model for us, which is something that we haven't really talked about. You have to have a single click conversion model, meaning a user can come to your website, learn about your entire company, all of your products, your team, your methodologies, your mission and vision statements, and click with one and convert with one click on that website. The days of having to load multiple pages of content for most users is completely over. And when you have a single click conversion model, you will see your conversion rates really skyrocket, but speed is still central to that. So like what's cool with us is our technology loads websites sub 1 second, even on mobile devices. So they're literally the fastest websites on the planet. And that is one reason that our members are seeing, you know, really great success, but paid media passed Natalie's efforts.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit as we wrap up here in the last few minutes. I want to talk trends. What are you guys seeing in terms of home improvement, home services? What are you guys seeing trend-wise as far as, you know, how's this year compared to last year? How is this month compared to last year, this month? Any idea on forecast? You know, what does it look like for Q2? We're doing this right at the beginning of Q2. What are you guys seeing?
So if you look at Google trend data, a lot of the, it's either a little bit flat or slightly moving up a little bit. Last month, in the previous month, we saw a little bit of a dip in the traffic volumes, but now we see them kind of recovering and trending upward a little bit. You know, I think we'll continue to see that, especially as we get into the warmer months of the year, which is just the natural flip of extra traffic with things like this. But I think it's pretty stable at this point. I don't see any massive peaks or valleys coming our way.
Well, and what's interesting is that the volume is way above the levels before COVID. So the COVID levels have kind of, I don't want to say maintained, but they haven't fallen off a cliff. They've just kind of maintained.
Yeah.
And so, but then because they've just kind of maintained, even though they're much higher than they were before COVID, it's still, there's so much more competition out there that it seems like all leads suck. It seems like, oh, there's just not enough leads out there. But the reality of it is there's a lot of leads, right?
Oh, 100%. And I think when you look at how contractors are behaving, they're adapting to what's going on right now. Even smaller to medium-sized contractors are taking a different approach when it comes to data marketing. to taking their data, feeding it back to search engines like Google, and ultimately becoming more efficient. So I think like some of the programs that Google rolls out, like PMax, in my opinion, one of the reasons they have something like that is to squeeze more advertisers into the SERP and saying it's no longer just bid, it's no longer just budget. There's other factors that will make me serve your ad a little bit more aggressively. So you do see smaller, small to medium sized companies utilizing their data in a much more efficient way.
Well, and I'll just, this is going to, well, it is, it's going to sound like a plug, but it really kind of is a plug. I mean, the thing about TrueVault that I really like is that you are bringing what you used to do in your previous company that would be really limited to only the people, the best people in the industry, meaning the companies that were $10 million, $20 million, $100 million. Those were the ones that you really were, you could really help. But what you've done now is you've taken all of that. And instead of having to be a $10 million company to get all of those tools now, you can get them at $1 million, at $1 million revenue level. And it's actually cheaper than it used to be when you were doing it for, and you have plenty of $50 million companies also, but now you've kind of leveled the playing field. And what the owners have to do, though, those $1, $2, and $3 million owners have to do, is now they have to start to think like a bigger owner. They have to think, not necessarily, hey, you don't have to be a $10 million company to be really, really successful in this business and make a great living and even get rich. But you at least have to think that way. You have to think like a $10 or $20 million company. And by bringing on tools like what you've created and some of the stuff that we've created at The Wealthy Contractor, some of the stuff like with One in Fund on the financing side, I mean, there's so many new tools out there where these $1 and $2 and $3 million companies can act the same way that $50 million companies were acting 5 years ago. It's really a big shift in the industry. And for me, as I see it every day and I work with it every day, and as you guys do too, it's so much about the mindset of the owner. And that's the key is am I going to listen to what these people are saying? Am I going to execute on what they're recommending I do? And am I going to take those tools and those resources and those relationships, and am I going to implement those into my business? And the ones that are doing that are killing it. They're really doing well. But the ones that aren't are going to struggle, and they're going to be, their sales are going to be up and down. Their lead gen efforts are going to be up and down. Their profitability is going to be, non-existent to maybe a little bit this month. And it doesn't have to be that way anymore.
Yeah. And we actually see a lot of our smaller and medium-sized company beating some of the larger companies to the punch. I mean, we're not talking about technology that costs thousands of dollars a month to be utilizing. I mean, our data platform, we charge $60 a month, for full integration. We're talking about what you spend on coffee in a week, essentially, to make your campaigns notably more efficient from where they were. So what's interesting is the technology that's out there now just allows these smaller companies to scale much more quickly, much more efficiently, and way just easier with less hassle running through, because it automates the hassle out of doing business with digital marketing agencies. There's no longer a 4 or 5 hour postmortem of what the heck just happened in the previous month. It's automatic. It's hourly with some of our members that we're updating these types of things. So it's just a different look. And I would encourage any size contractor to be looking at technology like this, because as adoption goes up, you're going to get further and further behind if you're not utilizing your data the way that you should be. And again, Google is a learning algorithm. So it takes time for them to learn. And so it's compounded by inaction. It's compounded by the time it takes for Google to learn about your campaigns once you have good data pouring into them.
One of the other things I think, kind of jumping on that as well, is understanding the data within your CRM as well. It's one thing to have a CRM and being able to kind of ingest the data and input the data, but understanding, okay, this is the raw lead cost. Are you tracking things from the initial raw lead? Are you, where do you start tracking that? Are you separating things out by sources to understand marketing costs by different channels? So being able not just to have those technologies, but actually utilizing them to their fullest extent so that your other initiatives can be benefiting from them. I think one of the really great things we have here at TrueVault is TrueCoach. And that is really kind of leaning into those home industry specialists and really understanding how we can be using these tools. And Chris can really expand a lot upon this, but these are industry moguls that have done paved the way and understand really how to use these technologies and tools to better kind of build up their internal infrastructure and internal tech stack to be able to kind of be implementing these type of tactics into their marketing initiatives, essentially.
Well, and the biggest advice that I have for owners, especially ones that are, you know, that are on that, that want to grow and that want to make more money and that want to build a great company, is you got to get yourself out of the day-to-day stuff, and you've got to start to work on and understand more how does sales work. And it's not like you have to go figure it out yourself. I mean, you can go to my friend John Anglis. He'll give you a whole system with training, with everything that, you know, again, 10 years ago would have cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars just in terms of time and effort and energy. You've got to focus on sales, because putting money into marketing with a weak selling system is just a recipe for not making any money and spinning your wheels and saying all leads suck. Well, do they suck or do your salespeople suck? Do the leads suck or do your call center people suck? And all of this stuff, yeah, it's all available now. Call center training is available. Sales training is available. Profitability training is available. All of this stuff now is available. And the owners need to understand, hey, look, I can't be out running leads. I can't be managing projects. I need to be focused on my selling system. I need to be focused on making sure we have the number of leads that we need every day in order to hit our numbers. And I need to be focused on creating an environment where great people want to come and be a part of our organization. The owners that are doing that are going to do great. The owners that are stuck in the weeds, that are trying to figure all this crap out on their own, there's nothing you need to figure out on your own in this industry anymore. Nothing. It's all, there's a module, there's a plugin, there's a technology, there's a relationship right now for all of it, all of it. And so that's my word to the owners that are listening to this is, you know, start to get yourself out of the way and stop being a bottleneck in your business, because you're not helping it by wanting to do all of the stuff yourself. So let's wrap up here. We'll put in a link to you guys, but where do people find TrueVault?
Well, they could simply go to TrueVault.com and find us there. You can reach out to us directly as
well. How do you spell that, Chris?
TrueVolv.com. TrueVolv.com. So right here.
Yeah, if you're watching this, you can see it on his
just
shirt.
Put a .com on the end of that.
TrueVo. Right? Chris comes up with the most interesting company names. TrueVolv. We don't know what it means, but it sounds good. TrueVolv.
It's true evolution.
Yeah.
It's evolving. Okay, I should have known that. I should have known
that. Industry in the marketplace. So
yeah. All right, you guys. Well, and I mean, these two people are best in the business. I don't think there's anybody out there that's as good as these two when it comes to internet marketing. And so give them a shout, check them out, see what they're doing over there, because it's really some really cool stuff. And we'll have you guys back again. I think we should, Chris, you and I should come up with like a state of the, maybe every quarter, come up with state of lead generation in the home improvement industry. Like, how was the quarter? Maybe, you know, what is the next quarter kind of look like in terms of, you know, whatever you guys do with your data and all of that stuff. So that maybe we should talk about that, because I think that could be really that could be really helpful for people listening to this podcast about what's coming, particularly what's coming, so they can plan a little bit better and hopefully we can help them make a lot more money.
We work directly with the largest data aggregator in the world, Google. So
yeah,
happy to have to share that information.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Natalie. Thanks, Chris. And to everybody listening, hopefully this was a really valuable conversation for you all. And until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.